Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I appreciate you spending some quality time with me today. And you are going to learn from a smart person. And that smart person is Dorit Sasson. She is an Israeli-American author and the owner of SEO Magic, which helps companies, business owners, entrepreneurs, and nonprofits brand themselves with an optimized online presence to compete in today's marketplace. Her mission is focused on serving business owners and entrepreneurs to demystify SEO so that anyone can apply the basics to grow their own online platform and attract the right audience. Dorit, welcome to the show.
So glad to be here, Rob. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So let's jump right into this, okay? SEO is one of those buzzwords that's been around for, I'm assuming that like Al Gore invented the internet, and then about a week later, somebody came up with the concept of SEO. Just for really simple terms, what does SEO mean and how does it work?
Right. Very good, reasonable question. SEO, as many people know, stands for search engine optimization, but what the heck does that really mean? For anybody who's new to this whole digital marketing play, SEO is really a fancy schmancy term to convince Google that your website is important and should rank highly in the search engines. And that's really what SEO means from a digital marketing perspective. Why is it important? Well, COVID, thanks to COVID, we have a lot of very good businesses and services, but they're not known on the internet. And they need to be known. People need to know about them. And without getting ranked for the right keywords, you really don't know what's out there. So having an optimized website is important because it tells Google, hey, Google, my website has these keywords that people are looking for. And these services and these products and these books and these whatever, and I need to rank for them. And that's how SEO works from the search engine side.
Okay, so the next question flows right from there. You're talking about keywords, okay? Yep. And you're saying, I want to rank for certain keywords. And I'm assuming that those are the, you know, those are the key words that describe your business, or is there more to it than just being those keywords?
That's a really excellent question. I'm so glad you asked that. You know, a lot of people who are thinking and listening to this are saying, well, it's about my products and my services, and which is a very important thing, right? We all want to make money. We all want to build credibility. We all want to get expertise and get known for those things. But I love to think of ours. I know this is a big buzzword, this whole idea of thought leadership, but I think it's really seriously important when we're blogging about something that we are so passionate about, we forget that we have an audience. We forget that that audience is waiting to get connected. And so we're so in love with the story that we're telling that we forget that there is a consumer mindset. And that consumer mindset is just looking for the how-to, you know, how do I do this? Or what do I do to solve this problem? Or any concept that you can think of. In my case, reverse culture shock is a serious emotional displacement syndrome. People are Googling that. How do they overcome it? How do they deal with it? Anything that's a pain point can be turned into a keyword like you know. But you need to know what you don't know. And that's where I think the magic happens. And I think there's so much anxiety about, oh, I need to get known about my products and services. And there's a whole missed opportunity that really will help your audience fall in love with you and your content when you really tap into those pain points. And products and services are doing one part of that. But I think the content is really the key to everything.
Okay, so the old saying is that content is king.
Yes.
And does SEO just mean that I am writing blog articles for my website every week so that I'm putting I'm just adding new content on there that has the right buzzwords and keywords in it, or is there something else that is included in that concept of, like, what's the content that carries the keywords that makes Google love me?
I don't take this side that keywords are the way in. I love to tell people that you need to build a connection. And it's so easy. The mechanics of finding keywords become so technical and so time consuming that people get fed up. And I try to humanize this process, because when you think of it, there's a person behind the screen looking for these things. They are just like you and me, with pain points, with struggles, with issues, with anxieties, with hopes, with dreams, and they're Googling certain terms. Without knowing who our target audience is, Rob, I don't think you really can do good justice to the keyword research part, which is very technical. But it can be very exciting, because when you know what people are searching for, then you can be an advocate. You can say, wow, this is what they're looking for. Now I know, because you've done some research around your pain points about the target audience and really what's keeping them up at night or what they're struggling with. And that's why I, as part of my SEO process, whether I'm working with an author or whether I'm working with a small or large business, the first step is I need to know who this target audience is. I need to get demographics. I need to get pain points. I need to get a better understanding of who they are. And what they're Googling, what their competitors are. And that, to me, is worth its own weight in gold.
I want to go back to something you said earlier. And you said, sometimes people just get so overwhelmed by this. And,
yeah.
And they almost feel like quitting, because it's just,
there's so much
information out there. There's so much research that can be done. And at the end of the day, I feel like, you can call it the science of SEO, but I feel like it's an art, because there's not like a definitive thing where it's, if you do this, then this will happen and you will get this, you know,
right.
And especially because the search engines are changing the way that they analyze websites all the time. And so when you have something that worked, all of a sudden it doesn't. How can you help people so that they don't feel that overwhelm and that they're just not just overburdened by this whole process?
It's a very good, important question, because it's very easy to feel that way. And I know from experience that I felt that way. So the good news about SEO is that you keep what works and you throw out what doesn't. But you need to have that stamina to know what works and not feel overwhelmed. But that is the good news, is that it's not a one-shot deal. You don't just get one try, you get it right, and that's it, and you're blown away. I like to tell people to really start small and to just go with this mindset that you can experiment and just get to know your target audience and not feel the pressure of having to have an outcome of yes, it's right, yes, you're gonna get traffic, no, you're not. It takes, as you said, the websites are changing, the algorithms are changing. I don't have access to that. I don't even think Google has access to that, because the website, the search engines are reflected by what people are searching, right? And those behaviors change from day to day and from week to week. So I think that, you know, the more we are connected to our target audience, the more we can allow ourselves to stay in that connected zone is to our benefit, and to kind of let go of the outcomes. I know that that's not an easy said done deal, but that's the first kind of mindset shift. Also, too, is that there's a learning curve with anything. And when you're dealing with SEO and you've never done it before, and you're kind of trying to get the right results, the mistake that I see people doing is that they want to that they don't take into account this time that's needed for such a learning curve. For me, I just go in, open a spreadsheet, I know like the steps, I have my process, blah 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 blah. But for them, it's not that self-intuitive. And the third thing I would say is that, you know, there's a lot of people who are trying to make sure that they are just like everybody else. And that's why it's so important to know I am unique. And even if I only have 10 people who are searching for that search term, go for it, because that is the sweet spot. You don't want to capture a search term that has 20,000 hits and say, hey, I found it, because that means that you are dealing with a very competitive search term and you won't be ranked for that. So the sweet spot is to embrace your nicheness, embrace your uniqueness, embrace the lower numbers, like really go after them. Because if you have a service and you're a niche and you know your audience, then there's no reason why over time those initial efforts won't begin to pay off for you.
Okay. I love that idea of embracing your own uniqueness. I'm not sure if this is the right place to start, but I'll ask it anyway. And that is, people, as people are getting into this and they're starting to work on their search engine optimization, they're starting to try and get their website in the right thing. Can you just tell us, what are some of the mistakes that people are making? And maybe are there some easy fixes for those mistakes?
Oh, yes, I can tell you. The first mistake is that people who build a website, people who get their website up and running, think that because they've optimized a blog post and they put in the meta description and they put in the title and they got the keywords and they did all the hard work and all the heavy lifting, that automatically they're going to see traffic. Boom. And it doesn't work like that. There is something called social media that is called Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And you need to be out there, putting yourself out there in a way that actually makes sense to bring people to your site. So yes, you have to do SEO. Yes, it's important for your niche. But the mistake that people think is that, oh, well, it's a done deal. I should be getting people. I should be getting clicks. I should be getting emails. People should buy. I should be getting sales. And there's an extra step that people don't take into consideration, even though it's social media and social media is not ranked for keywords and search terms. However, we need to continually advocate and put ourselves out there and try to get people back to our websites.
Okay. This is kind of a, somebody said there's no such thing as a stupid question, but this might be the first one in the history of mankind.
No, it's not.
I've heard that there's kind of like this rich get richer idea, and that is that the more that search engines are aware of how much traffic your website gets, and the more traffic your website gets, the more traffic they're willing to give it. Is that true, or is that just kind of a old wives' fable? Or what do you have to say to that?
I'm not sure I'm understanding your question. Are you saying that if more traffic you get, then the more hits you'll get, the less hits you'll get, or what? I'm not understanding.
It's okay. I will ask. So if you're out there on social media and you're getting people to visit your website, there is the more traffic comes to your website, the more the search engines are going to view it as an authority site and be willing to rank it higher and to provide more traffic, because they see this is not just a site by itself, but there is traffic coming there.
Right.
Is that a fact, or is that just a
myth?
It
is a fact. And it's just like wine. It ages over time. A site that is young doesn't have enough authority like an older established site. So it will take time for those search terms to become part of that site's authority. With that said, you can still, there's a piece there's a table for everybody. It's just that if you are known for certain search terms and then you start introducing newer ones, you might not get that kind of that kind of traffic like you did with the other ones. So it really does depend on the site and how well you are using those search terms.
Okay. So are there tools that are available to help you figure out, like, I kind of have, you know, I've got a business and I kind of know who I'm marketing to. I know who my niche is. How do I find out what those people are searching for?
Yeah.
Are there tools that are available for that?
Plenty. The ones that I always recommend are SEMrush, SEM with a capital R, Rush, R-U-S-H. It's probably one of the more established ones. I I just find it very user-friendly. It's actually a whole digital marketing tool. So you can use it for many, many different things. But I use it for primarily keyword research, and I'm very happy with it. And their customer service is excellent. And what's really good is that they have a free trial. So if you don't like it after a certain period of time, you can opt out. The bad news is that you do have to put in a credit card, and people don't like that, and they have a problem with that. But with this kind of site like SEMrush, they're not going to go and take your card and disappear on you. They can't risk their reputation and be bad at customer service. But it's a really good starting point, because it's user friendly enough to get started, and it's complex enough to do the more digital marketing the more advanced digital marketing stuff.
Okay, thank you. In this, we're talking about putting content on your website that is targeted at your niche market. It has the keywords that they're searching for. For people who say, I'm not a copywriter, how can you provide them some help to figure out, how do I do this when I don't feel like this is something that I've done before or something that I've got the expertise in?
Yeah, I mean, I get that from time to time, this type of question. And, sometimes people who are good at doing the research don't like to be writers, and they don't like to express themselves. So I tell people, look, embrace your content personality. If you don't like to write blogs, then do a video. And if you don't like to do a video, then, think of other ways that you can reach people. And people sometimes think, well, I get a blog and that's all I can do. And I said, some people are not natural born writers, and that's fine. Nobody said that you have to write a blog. I think people just kind of think that that's the way to do it. But you can have a great optimized YouTube video and do it for 2 minutes and do a tutorial. It really does depend on who you are and what you are all about and your uniqueness. So that's my two cents. Now, if somebody's really trying to get that blog going, and they don't know how to write a blog, or they don't know how to do good content marketing, then my suggestion is, well, study content marketing from the ones that are in your niche. See how they write to a consumer-driven audience, because most writers have more of a print-based audience, or they're more academics, or they haven't transitioned. The transition to consumer online readership is very, very different. And you need to know how to write for the web. So taking a course, a free course, can be a great thing. Studying from people who've done that kind of work before is also a great thing.
You mentioned something, and I would like to get more information about it. So you talked about doing an optimized YouTube video.
Yep.
Okay. In my thought when you said that is, okay, with a video, it's a bunch of, it's spoken word and it's visual. How does that help with search engine optimization? Because as far as I know, the search engines can't listen to it and can't watch the video. So how do you work with that?
Yeah, so Google and YouTube are indexed. And so whatever people are searching on YouTube gets indexed by Google. So there's that market share. But beyond that, there are meta descriptions where you can insert the title and the meta description. So from a content marketing perspective, being able to grab the reader, tell them what your YouTube video is about, insert a few keywords that are target driven to that subject that you're talking about. Those are a few ways that you can optimize a YouTube video from the front end. And there's also tactics from the back end that are a little bit more complicated, but I won't go into that here since that's more in depth, but that's definitely a way to go.
Okay. Being as I asked the questions backwards, I already asked you what not to do.
Yeah.
What would you say are some of the current kind of best practices, current elements? And I think that we may have covered some of these, but some things that are going well currently.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend doing some competitive research, knowing what other people or other services in your niche are doing, right? So doing some competitive research, you know, what products and services are they ranking for? What are the keywords that people are putting in? Can you optimize for any brand names that you're known for, right? So a brand name is really important because you can create what we call in SEO lingo, a long tail key phrase, which combines the brand name, for example, with a key phrase. And there you have good SEO juice because people are searching for the brand and they're searching for this key phrase. And together you got powwowy, you got some really serious SEO juice. So that is a really good way to go. And when I first got certified and I was like testing my key phrases and the person who certified me, Heather Lloyd Martin, she said, wow, you've got a key phrase on going on here. And lo and behold, that strategy, that tactic helped me get ranked for those search terms over time. That was a great domain authority for what I was trying to accomplish. So that strategy is a good strategy to do. And I recommend people thinking like that early on so that they're not getting locked in the competitive ones. As I said before, aiming for the sweet spot, it's okay to have low, low numbers. It's in fact recommended because what's happened is that people want to get ranked very highly and they get this illusion. They think if I'm not on the first or second slots of Google, then I'm not doing the right thing. And then they become obsessed and they look at the fluctuation and I'm not on the first slot. I must be on the second slot. And yes, you do want to aim for that, but that's not the end goal. Because if the best practice is having an optimized site and getting people to your website, then you want to be able to find those right search terms. You want to be on that. You want to be on those people's radars. And if there's 10 people are searching for that, well, you bet that you better use that. And you bet that they're engaged because those 10 people mean that they are looking for that kind of key phrase that only you or somebody in your niche can provide. The other thing I want to mention is that people ignore very good ways of content conversions. For example, FAQs for companies, for example. FAQs are a great conversion strategy because nobody would be reading your FAQ if they were not seriously interested in your company. FAQs are not the most interesting thing to read. They're not like, whoa, and sexy and yummy and so interesting and cool. But if I want to know about the return policy, if I want to know about the cancellation policy, if I want to know how I can get use the promo code, all of these things are opportunities for conversions and people are looking for these things. And they're simple, but undervalued. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, you have an SEO opportunity. And creating a mini key phrase, a mini FAQ page is an amazing opportunity because then you can link them to the products and the services and you can explain things. It's an opportunity to educate. And I wish companies would embrace this. I wish there would be more content marketing efforts that are a lot not like locked in, that they're willing to test the waters and experiment and see the value in what an FAQ page can do for their customer.
Okay. It's a very simple and practical tip. Okay. First of all, you taught me a new word. I was not familiar with the word powwowy, but it makes sense. and I guess the other question I've got is when you're doing competitor research to see who are the other people in your niche, what are they ranking for? Yeah. How do you do that in a way that you're not just chasing them, but you're standing out as unique and you're not just one of the many faces in your competitive area, but your business, your website stands out as being unique and different and better.
No two websites and products are the same. Even if they're in the same region and even if they're in the same country and the same locality. Because they think they share maybe some demographics, some are different. And so that's where I really stress and emphasize to get to know the customer, the demographics, the psychographics, the all the consumer things that come into play. It really does depend on the type of product, right? Because there might be a lot of overlap, and that's okay. And that's a true sign that you're in the right space, because if you were like in a there would be no market demand, because if you have like all of a sudden this brand new product and nobody knows about it and it's never been used before, then that's not a good thing either. So you do need some competition, and that's healthy and that's good. But the key is to really a brand awareness, your own brand name speaks, to know what are the features and the benefits of what this product and service will do for your customer. That is key, because if you don't know that, then nothing else will work. You know, SEO won't really be of help. The more you can understand those things and the names that they're looking for, but also the types of things that they're looking for, the types of features that will help them, that's a better way. That's a feather in your hat.
Okay. And I want to throw this out there. Somebody once said that if you read 3 books on a topic, then you are now an expert in that area. But you're not just theoretical about this. You're actually putting this into practice, not just for your clients and not just for the people that you work with, but for yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell me about the project that you've got a project coming out. You've got a memoir coming out.
Yeah. And I just got copies on Friday. So it's right hot off the press.
Fantastic. So what's it called? And like this, you're doing a book launch with this as well. And I'm kind of excited for you.
No, thank you.
Well, I'm as a fellow author, I'm very excited for you.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Rob. I appreciate that. I really, really do. Cause it's one for one author to another. We're all one big community. We're only better together. And you know, I did a lot of SEO when I was doing this actual work, this project, this memoir. It's about leaving Israel to come to the United States and find home and find connection, and how I deal with my longing on an everyday basis. And, you know, some of it was SEO, but a lot of it was just writing. And that's how I can have the energy to do SEO, because if I were to just look at keywords and research them all day long, I'd probably be gone by now.
Sure.
And, you know, everybody has a passion project that fills their well and gets them passionate about something. For me, it's about being vulnerable about something that helps bring people closer together. Just like a keyword can connect people, because all of a sudden you're connecting with a human, not a Googler. I'm writing a story to help bridge some of the cultural differences that our human families don't always have. And I have lived through a lot, and I don't want to hoard it to myself. I'm very generous with that vulnerability, because I want people to understand what it feels like to be in that space. Not because I want to say, well, I've got all this experience. I served in the IDF and look at me, and I've been in this culture and you haven't. No. To show them that this is to educate, to sensitize, to uplift, to maybe inspire, but to just embrace that vulnerability and show this is a hardship. I went through this, and this is how I emerged on the other side. This is how I reconciled the situation, and it was tough, but this is what I did. This is what I learned. And I think that people get great value from that. I think people feel comforted to know that even if they didn't live through the things that I lived through, they can still get something from that person's experience.
Understood completely. And I think that so many of us that go through experiences that would typically be labeled as difficult, when you go through those and you're able to share those, people can learn from them without having had to go through them themselves, which I think is super valuable. This is perfect segue. When people are looking to get a hold of you on the web, they're looking to learn more about SEO magic. What's the best place to do that? And how would they best connect with you?
Yeah, I'm always on Facebook. So that's a great way to start. I'm under my own name as an author. And I'm also on LinkedIn under SEO magic. But the best place to learn more about really what it is that I do and how I help is under my website, which is simply Dorit Sasson, D-O-R-I-T, S as in Sam, A-S-S-O-N, as in Nancy, .com. And there you can see things that, like the book, Sand and Steel, that just came out this past Friday, and I got copies, Sand and Steel, A Memoir of Longing and Finding Home. That's a pre-order, available as a pre-order, and anybody who orders that gets a free personalized signatured, what am I missing? Memoir of Accidental Soldier, A Memoir of Service and Sacrifice in the IDF. And, you know, I want to kind of just mention that this is A, for U.S. Readers, because shipping is incredibly expensive. But if somebody here is listening and is an international, I'd be happy to send over a PDF of it. And I'm speaking right now as rockets are flying over my family's head in Israel. And so, you know, being connected in this way and sharing an experience that I don't want to alienate people about, but it's so meteorized right now. Everybody's seeing it through media eyes, and I want to use the story to help people understand that that Israel is a safe country and it has the best army in the world. And I lived through these experiences and I didn't get blown up, and it was fine. So that's one way to learn more about me. And the other way is through the SEO magic that I do, and that there's a special course that I'd be happy to share more about, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, go ahead. You've got a special course starting tomorrow. Am I right with that?
Yeah, it's a special webinar called SEO Magic, Keywords That Bring Traffic. And we really get into the skinny about really what it is, like what we talked about today. What is a keyword? How do you find the right ones? How do you narrow down the search? It's actually going to be a $29 webinar that you can sign up, but it really will be very, very hands-on with a mock demo of a website that shows what it was like before and what I did after to help bring in traffic, and really like best practices, that strategies that you can do without breaking the bank and without like killing yourself.
Wonderful. And that information will be on your website. Is that?
That is correct. Rob, it's on my website. It will be it's under a tab called SEO webinar, and you can learn more about it, sign up, and a Zoom link will be available to anybody who signs up.
Fantastic. And I will put those links down in the show notes. Dorit Sasson, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. It's time for three questions to establish your humanity.
Yeah.
Are you ready for these?
If
you could have dinner with four people, any four people, living or dead, who would be on the invite list for dinner?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I would love to see if I could bring my mother, who is a concert pianist of note. Her name was Carmen, and she played like a Carmen. She was an amazing, amazing musician, because I think she would like to know her grandkids. So I would love to have a connection and a conversation with her. So that's number one to get us started.
That's fine. You have three more invites if you want them. You've got up to four.
Three more invites.
Yeah.
Ooh. I would love to pick brains with a wonderful, multi-talented author by the name of Jhumpa Lahiri. She's an Indian-American author. I just love the way she writes. She speaks my language. So those are people that come to mind right now.
Absolutely fantastic. So you've written your memoir, but if and when your memoir is made into a movie, who would play you in the movie of your life?
Now that caught me off guard. Let me think. Maybe Kate Winslet, if she has an American accent. I think she'd be really good at it. She looks a little bit like me in some ways. So I don't know. Maybe that's a long shot. But I love her acting. So
that works. It's not a problem. Okay. And the last question is matzah. Like, does anybody really like matzah, or do you have to doctor it up because it just doesn't really have that much taste?
Oh my God. The way you asked that, it all automatically made you like into a Jewish person. It's so funny. You like all of a sudden you turn Jewish.
So yeah, the backstory on that is I grew up just outside of Philadelphia in a community that there was a large Israeli population. So I grew up, we got all of the Hebrew holidays off, and we got to eat matzah on a regular basis, you know. But that's where the question comes from. Is it really that bland, or can it be eaten without being doctored?
It depends on the matzah. Matzah shmura that's used by the Hasidic Jews is not typically wetted and put stuff on it, because they don't believe in that concept. Like, you're not supposed, it's supposed to stay in its purified state,
okay,
and not diluted with water and mixed with other ingredients and stuff. So if, but you're not talking to that person. The way, you know, if you do want to dress it up and doctor it up, then I would have to say, like, eggplant parmesan, do the pizza thing, you know, do the matzah brie, you know, spice it up with some egg. But don't definitely turn it into a challah, because matzah and challah will not work. Like, they're two different things.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I appreciate your willingness to share. You have been fantastic, and I thought that this has been a really helpful and beneficial conversation. You are indeed a smart person. For all my listeners,
thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here today. To everyone that has listened, I hope that you've enjoyed this, and I'd encourage you, go ahead and take advantage of the offer that Dorit has with her book and the course or the webinar series that she is starting tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody, and I will remind you, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Take care.